25. Long-range plan. I didn't really want to get caught up thinking about what sort of animal companion a guy like me would end up with, especially in the city, so I ignored it for the time being. I thanked Rowan for everything and said goodnight. He told me I had a couple of days before he would be able to get me an appointment with the guild, so that was perfect for what I had planned. When I returned to HQ, I was relieved to see that Nick was still online and working. I was hoping to clear the air between us and hopefully get his assistance with what I had planned for my hand crossbows. With that in mind, I gave a few hard knocks on the blast door of his workshop. The sight that greeted me was not what I expected. Nick was absolutely beaming when he saw it was me. His clothes looked like he'd gotten into a wrestling match with a spider made out of knives and lost badly. There were cuts on his face and arms that were still trying to heal. Still, after his attitude towards me before, the smile was honestly the weirdest part of this. "Nick, I was hoping to talk to you if you had time," I said. "You seemed pretty angry with me the other day, and I was hoping to figure out what the issue was so I could fix it. I'm sorry if I've upset you somehow." The smile disappeared from Nick's face and was replaced with horror, then confusion, and finally understanding.
"Oh, sorry, Jack. I get like that when I'm hyper-focusing on something. I didn't mean to make you think I was angry at you," he said.
Well, that was a relief. "I'm glad to hear it," I said. "I'd hate to have hurt my best friend." He looked shocked again.
"Best friend?"
he said meekly. "Well, of course," I assured him. "I wouldn't have been able to do any of this without your help in the mines, Nick. Plus, you're the first person I met, and you started out by offering to help." The statement seemed to get him back on track.
"That's actually why I'm glad you're here, Jack. I'm fulfilling my original promise. I told you I could make better arm crossbows," he said, with his chest puffed up and full of pride.
He quickly darted into his workshop and returned moments later carrying a well-crafted wooden box with a gold inlay along the edges and corners. Across the top, in a beautiful calligraphic script, were the letters J.A., which I assumed were for my name.
"This is my way of saying thank you for everything you did for me and what you're doing now. I get to play this game the way I want without worrying about being able to afford tinkering like I do,"
he said as he set the case on the table and motioned for me to open it. When I did, I had to catch my drool from falling onto the velvet lining. Inside were two very well-made arm crossbows, only they were much different from mine. The bodies and limbs were metal instead of wood, and they both featured split limbs instead of a single-piece limb like my current base model. The decision to split the limb was so they could fold back and make the design more compact. Also, there were straps with strings on them that seemed to line up with my fingers.
"Try them on," Nick said, helping me pull them out of the case. "Make sure to put your fingers through the loops like this," he continued as he showed me which finger went through which loop.
Once I had both on, I took a second to move my arms around to see how it felt. Surprisingly, they were even lighter than their bulky ancestor I'd been wearing since my first day in game. Also, there was nowhere to load bolts. Nick, how do I load these bad boys?" I asked him, hoping he didn't somehow forget such a critical feature. He simply smiled and handed me an oblong cartridge of some kind.
"Slide this into that opening on the back," he said. "Each one of these has 5 bolts and they feed into the crossbow from underneath the string and limbs. Also, it's automatic when the string is drawn."
With that shocking explanation out of the way, Nick proceeded to blow my mind by showing me how they worked. The loops running to my fingers connected to lines that could perform previously manual functions like reloading and firing the crossbows. He had even gone so far as to make sure that the motions to fire and reload it didn't interfere with holding swords or daggers, which I was thankful for. I was more happy about the reverse being true. Holding swords and daggers didn't activate the crossbows.
"Nick, I don't know what to say,"
I finally told him once I had a feel for their use and had acclimated to the weight on both arms.
"These are incredible. Thank you." "You're welcome," he replied. "It was the least I could do. If you need anything else made, please let me know. I can never repay what you've given me here,"
the gnome said as he gestured to everything around us. "Actually," I said, feeling guilty for asking for more so soon, "I do have an idea for something." Several hours later, I was marveling at my new hand crossbows. Each was made of the same materials as the arm crossbows, along with the folding limbs. Nick used his ability to magically charge things to imbue the limbs with the ability to move in and out on their own when activated. That made it so that a regular button could be used as a switch to open and close the limbs. He'd perfected his cartridge design on the arm version, so these could use the same system. It still would need to be drawn manually. The upside was that I could carry them on my hips like pistols. As for drawing the string, that's where the contraptions attached to my hips came in. They were fairly simple, just a couple of hooks secured in place to act as catches. By hooking the string and pushing down, I could reload both hand crossbows simultaneously. It would be much more efficient than using several weapons as I'd done at Rowan's range. It was time to see just how good it was, though. While Des was gone for the evening, her dojo was still open to me as the owner of the property. I also had the ability to modify it, which was what I did. I added a basic target practice area onto the side of it and found the option to rush construction for double the management point cost. Since I hadn't built anything new in a while, I had plenty of points to spare, so I had it finished immediately. It wasn't as complex as Rowan's, but it could be upgraded later. I just needed it for the proof of concept. Thunk, 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 thunk. Holy shit, Jack! Nick exclaimed as I put all four bolts into the target within the span of around 2 seconds. Those shots are supposed to have a base 3 damage plus the agility modifier, which should be insane for you. This could probably destroy a boss in seconds. We should sell these, right? I tensed up at the thought. Something Rowan said was coming back to me. He said we'd have to fight to protect what we had. It occurred to me that we might be selling too much of our power. We needed to make sure we had plenty of tricks and tools that others didn't, just in case. No, we need to keep this to ourselves for now. I'm not sure I trust other players with something like this that could be turned against us so easily, I said. At least with the flash grenades, we know to look away, unlike the monsters we fight. Nick contemplated my response and seemed to agree. We both decided to call it a night and said our goodbyes. I walked to my office as it was my preferred spot to log out from so that I'd be there when I logged in and decided to ask Alfred about something bugging me. Hey, Alfred, what's with the animal companion thing? I asked once I was relaxing at my desk.
It is a unique ranger ability, sir. Similar to a mage's familiar, except that the familiar is more of a servant, whereas the companion is more like a friend, came the AI's explanation. Additionally, mages can seek out specific familiars or be assigned one based on their playstyle. Rangers do not have this choice. An animal companion that is unique to you and your playstyle will seek you out.
That caught me off guard. What sort of animal companion would go to a master of none like me? Maybe I should ask Rowan if he had one since he knew about the ranger job. As if my thoughts summoned him, Rowan messaged me.
Sorry to bug you so late, lad, but we need to talk. I got bad news about the Thieves Guild, the message said, sounding far more ominous than I really wanted to deal with this late.
However, I considered Rowan a friend, and I didn't want to leave him hanging if something was bugging him, so I told him to swing by the warehouse. A few minutes later, I heard him coming in and giving his long whistle he used to show he was impressed.
I like what you done with the place, lad. To think I was going to use the warehouse for storing extra clothes, he said as he took everything in.
Wait, you were going to turn this into a men's... You know what? Never mind, I said as I refused to follow that train of thought. What's got you so bothered this late at night, Rowan?
Oh, right. Sorry I didn't give you more details in my message, he said as he motioned for a chair. Let's have a seat.
After we were both seated, he continued.
See, in this world, you got three types of dangerous areas. Open areas, like that mine you got yourself. Those can turn into lairs, which are the homes of a specific and powerful type of monster, whose power is amplified by the lair. If you leave a lair too long, though, it turns into a full-fledged dungeon full of whatever nastiness the big bad monster managed to gather. Now, This is bad because the concentration of mana that accumulates during the lair phase will eventually become self-sustaining and keep the bugger in there alive forever. 1,000 adventurers could come through and murder the prick that started the dungeon and he'd pop back right as rain every goddamn time, he finished.
Okay, what does this have to do with the Thieves Guild? I asked, knowing good and damn well exactly what it had to do with the Thieves Guild.
There's been a string of disappearances in the sewers around where the Thieves Guild enters and exits their hideout. The more they send looking, the more disappear. Originally, they were going to send you out as bait for whatever was sneaking around the sewers. But then they found the problem, he said.
The concern was painted all over his face, as if he didn't want to finish what he was getting at.
Last night, he said, the Thieves Guild found a lair underneath their HQ.
Let me guess, I said, as I fought to keep my eyes from rolling. They want me to clear it.
That they do, lad. But you got no dungeoneering experience. Hell, I heard you almost died to a pack of kobolds, he said, stifling a chuckle.
Okay, first of all, Nick promised he wouldn't say anything. Second, there were 100 of the bastards, I said in my own defense.
Your past mistakes aside, lad, we got to get you trained up on how to handle yourself in there before I send you to meet them,
Rowan said with an almost fatherly tone.
Plus, you need to get some levels on your jobs. There's only one good way for getting all this done, lad, and you ain't going to like it.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. I trailed off in defeat.
That's right, lad. It's time you soloed a dungeon.